everybody, and welcome to another podcast here on Sports Talk Chicago. My name's John Zagluel, owner and operator of the site. Today we're going to have another special guest that I want to introduce to you in a moment, but first, just a few quick announcements. Make sure to hit me up on Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Google+, all at John Zags. Also, make sure to follow Sports Talk Chicago's very own Twitter page, and I would also like to thank NFHSnetwork.com for allowing me to be in consideration for Best Student Broadcaster of the Year. Do you need a gift for an upcoming housewarming party, or maybe even a birthday party? Well, if you've said yes to any of those questions, make sure to head on down to Moochie World, a peculiar place in Tinley Park, Illinois. They offer many sorts of gifts and little trinkets, including some sports trading cards. So make sure to head on down there, Moochie World, a peculiar place, gift shop, and more at the Tinley Park Downs Shopping Center, 7913 171st Street in Tinley Park. To call, you can call 773-79-MOOCHIE, which is really 773-796-8224. Again, that's 773-796-8224. Now for today's special guest. On the show today, we have a 2016 presidential candidate who is the founder of the Muscle Maker Grill restaurant chain. He is representing the Nutrition Party, which upholds healthy values and addresses increasing rates of health complications. Please welcome Mr. Rod Silva to the show. And again, here with us today, it's Mr. Rod Silva running for President of the United States. Mr. Silva, thank you for being on the show today. I really appreciate it. And how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me. I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
Doing very well, sir. Very well. And again, just really appreciate you being on. So let's get to the hot button issues and talk about your campaign a little bit.
Oh,
so let's talk about your issues right now, talk about your campaign, and let's get started. So let's talk about your decision to run for president under the Nutrition Party. So what has motivated you to reject the customary two-party system that we see in American politics today?
Well, I think the two-party system we have today really doesn't address the needs of the people. I think it addresses a small group of a very large and very powerful country. And when I hear the political landscape and the topics that they speak about, they really don't address the true needs of the American people. You know, the greatest resource a country, an organization, a system has is its human resources. And if we don't take care of our human resources, then no matter what policies, regulations, all the things they talk about in place, we're still not addressing the main need, the health of this nation.
So let's talk about your party's platform now, because, I mean, this is a new party. You created it yourself. And, again, kudos to that, to really rejecting that two-party system. So what does your party encompass, and how will it benefit the average American citizen?
Okay, so my party, Nutrition Party, it's a party about the people, for the people. And as an entrepreneur myself, I started my first business, Muscle Maker Grill, in 1995. I was 22 years old, and it's all about, you know, healthy living, great taste of food, and health of mind. And why I bring that up is that because I really believe the old saying of you are what you eat, and I believe that when I look at the economy, if you look at what are the issues that people most talk about, most say they want to see results in, the first one is the economy. So there's 95 million people out of work. There's people getting out of college and can't find jobs. And some of that has to do with, majority of that has to do with unhealthy people. We have a very unhealthy lifestyle, very unhealthy diet, and a lot of foodborne illnesses, a lot of dietary illnesses. And, you know, if you're not 100%, if you're not, you know, strong mind, body, and soul, you know, it's very difficult to succeed, especially in the system that we live in. So I feel like the first and most important, you know, issue we need to address the health of the American people.
Now, about your party, it's a single-issue establishment, as we've already talked about here, but what are your opinions towards other issues this country faces, like terrorism, foreign policy, or Obamacare, for example?
So, okay, let's start with Obamacare, which is very dear to my heart. You know, you can fight, the parties can fight you know, Republicans don't want Obamacare to have traction because it's a Democratic policy, and Democrats want to push it in so they can, realistically, if we don't address the health of this nation, preventative medicine, preventative dietary change, no health care can ever support the amount of illness that this country has and is continuing to grow in, whether it's diabetes, heart disease, high cholesterol. These things are obesity. They're epidemics, and they will bankrupt any medical system, regardless if it's Obamacare, something that the government puts in. So when it comes to the most important issue, I still believe is the health of this nation, which will in turn affect the economy. As far as foreign policy, I believe that we need to have strong borders. I really do. We need to have strong borders. We need to have a strong military. We need to really have resolve as a nation. We need to pull this nation back together. I think everything starts from the inside out, whether it's your body, country, you know, the world. We need to get strong inside. We need to work on our infrastructure. You say, how does that work with foreign policy and terrorism? We need to be strong. We need to have our people healthy and back to work, build our infrastructure up, dominating the world as we've done for the last century and into this century. And then when we see issues like terrorist groups, we need to just take them out. We need to stop making a political game and make it just a military game. You take your military mind. We have the best military mind in all the world. They study war. Get their input. They have the best, you know, intelligence. Get the intelligence community. Make them communicate. Take that information. With that information, eradicate terrorism. Don't play with it. Don't act like, you know, I heard the president say, you know, more people die in bed from accidents. Don't play with something that's very important to the American people. But part of that is dominating worldwide. And as a country, we need to get back to winning, to dominating, but with common sense, right? Not to alienate any, you know, race or gender in this country, but to win as Americans. So Americans is a diverse group of people who've come to this country, who've left, someone in our ancestors, people left comfortability to come for a hope of a better life for them and their families. And we need to remain in that. We need to remember that.
Now, as far as ballot access is concerned, are you currently on the ballot in certain states for the election in November, including maybe Illinois? And can you take us through the process of the ability to earn a spot on the ballot?
Well, and that's the real challenge, you know, to be honest with you. You know, the game is fixed, it's rigged, it's totally not a true democracy where anybody can get on the ballot. So we've gotten on the ballot in Colorado. We're working on the ballot in Louisiana. And then every state has different, you know, rules and regulations in order to get out of state. So I'm trying to do this with a lot of ground support, all volunteers. I take no donation. And, you know, the table's tilted against me. I know that. But you know what? People like you who have courage to put a different voice on, whether it's on the radio, TV, social media, I think that's what people are looking for. They're looking for true genuineness, something that says, you know what, I think that's why Trump got traction, I think that's why Bernie Sanders got traction. I think people are looking for someone to say, here's the truth, and I'm one of you, and let's go forward and try and make it happen. And I'll be honest with you, right now it's an uphill battle, and, you know, I'm not giving up. I'm going to continue to pursue and try to get on every ballot I could. I'm hoping the awareness comes out and people write the ballots in, but currently it's been just a very difficult struggle without the millions of dollars behind the Republican candidate's path to be on every ballot.
And now here's a question. This is something I researched online, and you don't have a vice presidential running mate. Will you have one? And if you do choose to have one, when will you announce that?
Oh, no, I asked if it's not on it, that's my fault. So my oldest brother, who's Richard Silva, he's a DO, he's a medical doctor, been practicing for the last 21 years. He is all about preventive medicine. He's probably the most intelligent human being I've ever met, photographic memory. And we plan on doing this together. And he'll be my vice president. He'll be working on different things, vice president in the past, just kind of sitting in the background. He'll be helping me push the forefront of preventive medicine, of healthy herbs, of how to live a healthy lifestyle, and really focusing on how do we change the mindset of American companies, starting with pharmaceutical companies, starting with the doctors, changing their mindset from only making medicine to, you know, if you get something to keep you going, to cures, to prevention. That's what I'm focusing on.
And here's a question, too. Now, I mean, your campaign, it's unheard of, really. You know, I've never heard of somebody running on the basis of nutrition and trying to combat an unhealthy lifestyle. So, really, what was the defining moment that thrust this campaign into action?
So I was thinking about as the election season came on and campaign season, and then in one of the Republican debates, Governor Huckabee brought up the issue. I mean, he brought it up, he laid it out there as clear as it could be, and they basically dismissed him, almost left him off the stage, and from that day forward, he never made the main stage again, and then he suspended his campaign. And it was just to show, it reinforced what I thought all along, that people don't care about the other people. You know, if you, our government becomes, you know, if you want to use our American people as stepping stones to get what they want, to enrich their lives. And when I saw that, and nobody even, like, even said, that is the main issue. Even the doctor was on there, and he didn't bring it up. Showed me that, you know, people are not really looking out for the American people. They're not caring about how America feels, you know, what they're going through, what our health care is really up against right now. It's, nobody has any cure, prevention. It's all about just taking medicine to, you know, prolong a disease but not cure it. And I think if we don't take that action, if we don't take that action and make that our cause, you'll see no matter what policies are in place, the American people will get sicker and sicker and less productive. And that's the domino of such all the chain events. Losing jobs, jobs going overseas, you know, outsourced. All the things that we talk about really stems from a nation who's, you know, hasn't taken care of their health in the last decade.
And you are certainly qualified, in my opinion, to give information on healthy eating. And just for my viewers out there, Mr. Silva has founded the Muscle Maker Grill restaurant chain, which provides healthy and delicious eating options when compared to fast food. So, Mr. Silva, how do you feel that your experience with operating this successful restaurant chain, how will that enable you to handle the rigorous responsibilities that accompany that presidential title?
So, you know, so I was 22 years old. I graduated from college, and my passion was healthy living. My father died of a massive heart attack at 62 years old, and I had the unfortunate opportunity to find him in the car. And it changed my life. And I've dedicated the last 21 years of really researching, studying, living it, following it. And what I've learned is I've taken a one store. I built a store around a passion of mine. It was never a business opportunity. It was just a passion to create great tasting food, healthy. And I turned that from a one store unit in the middle of Central Jersey to a national, soon to be international brand, you know, that it's just exploding. We're, you know, we're currently going on military bases. We're in MetLife Stadium, Angel Stadium. So, it, you know, to see that growth and to be a part of that growth and to lead that growth, I feel like I've been able to deal with diverse situations, multiple tasking, very difficult situations, dealing with different kinds of people and vendors. And I feel with my brother, who's got the medical background, I feel we have a unique skill set that really can be diverse and change how America sees politics. And the other thing is, I tell you, the strongest strength I have, the common sense strength, is that I'm one of us. You know, we're looking at political figures who are so far out of touch with the average American person. They have, you know, Hillary Clinton has never used a metro car. She never used a subway. You know, Trump has his own plane. These people, they don't have touch. They're not in touch with what we're going through, what the average person's going through. They never had student loans, you know. So I think that is the quality that really separates me from the pack and really what the American people really want. One of them that knows what they're going through, that can really pull this country together and push us back to the front.
And finally, the final question here. So whether the campaign works out or not, what are your future aspirations? Will you continue to contend for other forms of political office?
You know, it's not really about the politics, so I will pursue whatever my voice can be most effective in changing the way people see food, changing the way people see themselves, helping people, you know, regain that American spirit, helping people have better, healthy, positive lives. So anywhere I can see where my voice can make a big difference in changing people's lives for the better, that's what I'll focus my energy on. So if it's politics, there's an opportunity, I would love to have the opportunity. If it's TV, if it's radio, I'm exploring all options. My goal in life is to spread the word on There's a better way. Make America healthy.
Thank you so much, Mr. Silva. Really appreciate you coming on the show. And again, folks, if you want to check out Mr. Silva online, make sure to look up Rod Silva Nutrition Party, and you'll be able to find him. Thank you again, Mr. Silva.
Thank you so much, and God bless you. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Well, after that inspiring interview by Mr. Silva, we still want to get in some sports here before the podcast is over. So let's start off with the Chicago Cubs, currently 5-1. They're having a nice year, but it did take a little bit of a turn when Kyle Schwarber tore his ACL and LCL on a play that resulted in Gene Segura hitting an inside-the-park home run. Schwarber currently is going to be out for the year, but that won't stop him from showing up to games. Yesterday at the Cubs' home opener, he appeared on two crutches. He got out and made it to the pitcher's mound and received a standing ovation from the fans. Very nice to see. Now, the question on everyone's mind is who is going to be replacing Schwarber? And right now, it's looking as if it's going to be Jorge Soler. He has to step it up, though, in my opinion. Now, last year, Soler, in limited time, hit around 266, 10 home runs. He could be hitting 30 to 40 home runs if he could get a full season under his belt. That's according to the scouting reports compiled when he was in the minor leagues. So, what is the problem with Soler? Now, in my opinion, Soler came up a little bit early. Last year, when compared to the likes of Bryant and Rizzo and Russell, Soler really underperformed, in my opinion. And I think he should have spent last year, the majority of it rather, in AAA. That's last year. Now we're moving on to this year. Now, although there is some worry about the fact that Schwarber's out of the lineup, and by the way, an interesting stat about him. Last year, the Cubs scored 5.5 runs when Schwarber was in the game. They only scored 3.3 when Schwarber wasn't playing. So, yeah, it is statistically not a good thing for the Cubs. But the good thing is they do have depth. So, Lair, I think this year is going to be his year to break out. Now that he knows that he's going to be starting on a pretty much everyday basis, he can start to calm down not having to compete with Schwarber for playing time. I think if there's a serenity and a peacefulness with Soler's game, he'll be able to really be the player that I think he is, so I wouldn't be surprised if he could crack 20 to 25 home runs this year. Also on the bench, don't forget about Matt Caesar, who is a capable outfielder and who is currently hitting .500 so far, 4-for-8 in pinch hit opportunities. I mean, I think that's amazing when you think about the fact that he's coming in each game for only one at bat, cold off of the bench, and he's getting hits. He also hit a home run. So the Cubs have depth, which is a good thing, and I think although the Schwarber injury does hurt, it does not hurt too much. Now on to the White Sox, and hey, they're doing pretty good as well. They lead their respective division with a nice 5-2 mark. They beat the Twins yesterday. So about the Sox, what do we have to look out for when talking about Chicago? Right now it's Todd Frazier, in my opinion. I'm sure you guys have seen the article I posted regarding the fact that I don't think Todd Frazier will be doing that well this season. Now, currently, I think my projection is right, as he only has 6 hits and 29 at-bats, 2 home runs, and he's hitting a meager .207. So, he does have time to recover, but I will say this, and that's what I've mentioned before, it seems as if every time somebody decent goes to the White Sox on one of their infamous 2 to 3 year deals, they don't turn out that well. Adam LaRoche is now retired due to a spat with management. Melky Cabrera, as I mentioned in the article, did not do so hot last year in his first year with the Sox. So now we have Todd Frazier into the mix. And as I mentioned, just the fact that he's hitting .207 right now goes to show that he may not be in for such a good season. Hopefully I am wrong, and hopefully the Sox could continue their winning ways even without that powerful bat in the middle of the lineup. But let's hope Todd Frazier will recover, maybe hit 20 home runs. Another statistical note, Chris Sale right now tied for the major league lead in wins. He's 2-0. Now on to the Chicago Bulls, and what a dismal season it has been. The Bulls recently found out, I believe it was on Saturday, that they will not be in the playoffs, snapping their streak of 9 consecutive seasons being in the playoffs. They were eliminated when the Pacers beat the Nets by a nearly 30-point margin. So what's next for Chicago? Well, I'm going to repeat this many times. I'm going to say it right off the bat. Fire Hoiberg. I cannot say it enough, as he has just done a horrible job here with Chicago. As I mentioned in another article I recently posted, Fred Hoiberg is the Mark Trestman of the Chicago Bulls. Mark Trestman, let's think about him for a minute. How passive was he? He didn't care. He lost control of the locker room, and sooner or later, now he finds himself out of a job, and yeah, he latched on to an offensive coordinator gig with the Baltimore Ravens, and by the way, the Ravens finished well below 500 in their first season with Trestman. So now we're here with the Bulls. Hoiberg, a former college coach at Iowa State, has led the Bulls right now currently to a 41-40 record. They have one more game to play. And the Bulls seem like, going back here to the Vinny Del Negro days, when the Bulls made it in going 41-41, they got the 8th seed and they always got eliminated. This year they missed the playoffs because of Fred Hoiberg's horrible style of coaching. And simply put, in my opinion, he's a college coach. He succeeded with Iowa State, and I have to give him props for that. He did quite a good job there. But the NBA is different. There's more talent. Players are bigger. It's a different mindset, a different kind of game. And the old-school college offense won't work. And we see the Bulls running it a lot where there are guys open for three many a times, and all they do is just try and drive in, and they end up missing tons of layups as well. So for Fred Hoiberg, he has to really rethink his mindset going into next year. That is, if he even has a job. Now, for the Bulls, as far as injuries goes, that really did hurt him this year. Joakim Noah, early in the year, we found out he was out. Derrick Rose was off and on all year, as well as Pau Gasol, with lingering injuries in their knee. So it wasn't a good year. It wasn't an ideal year for the Chicago Bulls. Now, fortunately for them, Tom Thibodeau is still available to be hired for a coach, and I'm only speculating here when I say that it'd be nice if the Bulls could rehire him. But then again, he had a spat with management, and that's why he got fired after many consecutive winning seasons and a Western Conference Finals appearance. So, as far as the Bulls go, they're up in the air right now. We're going to have to wait and see how it plays out in the offseason. One thing's for sure, though. Pau Gasol is able to opt out of his contract after this season, so it'd be interesting to see if he chooses to go to a contender to try and win one more championship before his retirement. He is 36 years old. But Jimmy Butler did make a bold statement that resonated with Bulls fans. He is not going to be leaving anytime soon. He'd like to stay with the team, restructure his contract, and stick around for the long haul. So a good thing to know on that note. Moving on now to the Blackhawks, and they're making the playoffs again this year as the number 4 seed in the Western Conference. They're going to face off against the St. Louis Blues, the number 3 seed, for the first series. That first game will be tomorrow night at 8:30 p.m. on NBC Sports Network. The Blackhawks finished the season with a 47-26-9 record. The Blues, 49-24-9. And also, congratulations are in order to Patrick Kane, who became the first American-born player in NHL history to lead the league in scoring. Kane finished the season with a career-high 106 points to outpace Jamie Benn, who had 89. Kane also finished with career bests in goals, 46, and assists, 60. Here's a quote. "It is an honor being the first American to win the scoring title, as there have been so many great hockey players from the United States and the NHL. I take a lot of pride in that, but I also take a lot of pride in doing it with the Chicago Blackhawks. I owe a lot to my teammates, coaches, and the organization, as I couldn't have done this without them. This has been a special season, but we still have a lot to accomplish, as the team and I look forward to another long run in the Stanley Cup playoffs." Well, congratulations to Patrick Kane and the Hawks. Good luck to them in the playoffs. And finally, we're going to talk about the Chicago Bears here for a moment. They've been very busy on the free agent track, so I want to talk about some of their big signings before we end the show. They recently signed Omar Bolden to a deal, and he used to be on the Broncos, who just won the Super Bowl. He is a safety, something that the Bears are going to need next year. And just a trend I'm looking at right now, a lot of defense for the Bears. Again, they've been lacking that, and they need it. Danny Trevathan was also signed away from the Broncos as a linebacker. Bobby Macy will be a tackle from the Arizona Cardinals. Ted Larson, a center. Akeem Hicks, defensive lineman from the New England Patriots. And finally, Jarrell Freeman from the Colts, also another linebacker. So, judging by those signings, we could predict right away that the Bears were looking for defense here. Last year, their defense was not the best as the Bears coasted to a 6-10 record. But things are looking up, I think, this year. Starting with the fact that we're going to have Jeremy Langford starting at running back full-time now. Unfortunately, Matt Forte has left. He's on the Jets now. But it's now time for Langford to shine. Last year, he produced some good numbers in a limited role, sharing carries with Matt Forte. But again, Matt Forte, think about how good of a running back he was with the Bears offensive system. And I think Jeremy Langford will also flourish under that type of system. Jay Cutler also, and a lot of people are giving him some hate over the fact that he couldn't lead his Bears once again to a playoff appearance, but I will say this. Last year, he had a career year as far as passing yards, touchdowns, and interceptions go. He had looked for him to be a reliable playmaker as we move on into the 2016 season. And finally, who will the Bears draft in the NFL draft? Something we're going to think about. And right now, I want to tell you a few of the candidates who the Bears may draft according to certain mock drafts that were composed online. First off, the Bears could be getting Carson Wentz, one of the best quarterbacks in this draft class from North Dakota State. He did a great job last year in college, a very versatile quarterback, also very physical. Ronnie Stanley, another option, an offensive tackle out of Notre Dame. And here's a quote about him. Although the Bears need to add a lot of talent on defense, Stanley's value at number 11 is too good to pass up. He could be the long-term answer at left tackle the team hasn't had for years, so look out for him. Next, Miles Jack, a linebacker out of UCLA. He is athletic, he is tough-minded, and he could go anywhere as far as linebacking goes, whether it's inside or outside or even middle linebacker. So a few of the options, make sure to listen for those names when the NFL draft commences here at the end of the month. And again, it's going to be held here in Chicago. So if you receive an opportunity to attend it, make sure you go. It's very fun, very interactive, and again, you'll be watching the superstars of tomorrow. And now moving on to our closing segment, starting with the odd sports story. And this one is good for all you Star Wars fans. Apparently a new variation of fencing has been created using lightsabers instead of the traditional swords. And it's a very popular sport overseas. It could be coming to America very soon. But again, just something odd to think about. And personally, as a young kid, remembering doing stuff like this with my brothers, with my siblings, just sitting there fighting with some lightsabers. But now it's a legitimate sport. It's competitive, so credits to those who decided to make it up. Now for our punchline of the day segment, a nice, funny sports joke, and this one, unfortunately, has to do with the Chicago Bulls. So here's the question. How do you know you're better than Derrick Rose? Answer, when you have more cartilage in your ears than Derrick Rose has in his knees. Oh, and a nice jab at Derrick Rose there, but hopefully, on a more serious note, he'll be ready for next season. And now to our famed Announcer's Call of the Day segment, my personal favorite. And here's the situation. Dodgers and Giants, it's 2-2 in the bottom of the 10th inning. What a battle it has been. This was actually in the same game as when Ross Stripling threw a brilliant no-hitter before he was subsequently pulled in the 7th inning by manager Dave Roberts. So, here's John Miller with the call, Brandon Crawford at the plate.
Pagan on deck. Oh, a hit well to left field. Back. Still going back. Goodbye! And good night! opposite field home run. An electrifying moment to end a long night. The Giants, on two hits, beat LA in 10, 3-2.
And what a game it was. Again, the same game in which Ross Stripling and a no-hitter going. He was taken out. The Giants struck right away. And in the end, Brandon Crawford sends the Giants crowd home happy with a big 3-2 victory. Well, that does it for us here at Sports Talk Chicago. Thank you all for listening. I truly appreciate it. Also, another special thank you to Rod Silva, candidate for President of the United States, for joining us here today. And again, if you want to watch this podcast, please go to www.sportstalkchicago.com. Follow the Sports Talk Chicago Twitter page on Twitter at @ShyTalkSports. Hit me up personally, Google+, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, all at John Zags. Thank you all for listening, and make sure to look on the site soon as some more articles will be published in the coming future. Thank you again, and have a nice day.